Father, we meet here together in your name, looking for you, hungering for you, thirsting for you, wanting to understand more. Please, by your Spirit tonight, Holy Spirit, come and explain and reveal and direct. Let everything be according to the will of the Father, directed by you. In Jesus' name, for that we ask you and thank you. Amen. All right. I have a little testimony. It's an experiential testimony. And that is that, and I've not been timid about telling you God tells me this or God tells me that. Now, today it was a relatively strange situation, very clear. We were on 80th crossing. We stopped at a stop sign, crossed Sims, heading for Indiana. There's a high school right there. Speed limit's 30 miles an hour. That means I probably picked it up to 35. You know, I wasn't going fast, and there's school was out, getting out, and there's several driveways, but there's one main one that I was coming up to. A little blue Volkswagen sitting over there, ready to come out. Now, there wasn't a reason in the world, nothing in between me and her, clear day, no excuse. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, she's going to pull out in front of you. And he even explained, she's looking the other way, but she's not going to look your way. And I mean, no more than I heard that, she pulled right out. Now, instantly, I was on the brake and the horn because I already knew. Stopped about from here to Connie. That's as quick as I could stop. And all she could see was bumper. I'm serious. I mean, I guarantee you, she had a hygienic problem when this was over. She stopped, and of course, you could see on her face, she was just backed up and got out of the way, and I went on, saying, thank you, God. Thank you for her. Thank you for me. We wouldn't have gotten hurt. She could have gotten killed. I mean, a little Volkswagen against that truck. I could have run over her. I could have broken her neck. Anything could have happened, just with a small bump. And then we just agreed that with this thing that happened to her, she'd become a better driver. She might have been a Christian too. I don't really know. It's not my issue. My issue was what I needed to do. So clear an explanation. There's no reason she couldn't have seen me, but she's not going to look your way. And then just boom, right out. Okay, I want to go ahead and continue what we've been studying. I won't keep you as long as last time, because I'll have to divide this up in at least two sessions. But you remember we talked about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit last week, and I even told you, so I'm going to remind you again. What we were talking about is the manifestations of holy last week, last Wednesday. How the holy works, because I was really studying the word holy, not spirit or ghost. And I know you can't take, yes, you can take these apart. And the reason you can take them apart is because the same word for Holy Spirit, is the same word used for evil spirit. Okay? So what we did last week, last Wednesday night, was we broke into the word holy, how it was used in the Bible, and always tied with ghost or spirit. Well, not always. Holy saints, there was a lot of holy ground, there was a lot of words that went with it. But it seemed like it always had a manifestation. Holiness has a manifestation. That's what I was trying to get at last week. People that are holy have a manifestation. It's the way they walk, it's the way they talk, it's the way they see things, it's the way they hear things. It's the way they deliver and receive the Word of God. You're only going to get that one place, and that's through the man holy. Right? Now I want to talk to you about spirit or ghost. And with the same thing in mind, the manifestations of Holy Spirit, and I'll throw in a couple evil spirit. So contrast is good, right? The word spirit is pneuma. 4151, if you like those kind of things. This is New Testament. I'm really not going to concentrate anything in the Old Testament. I mean, for the word Holy Spirit, we're in the wrong place to study the whole Old Testament. It just won't get you too far. You'll go through 100,000 words, and you just won't get very far. But in the New Testament, we need to understand. That's where we are right now. We're in the New Testament. The word pneuma, that's where the word pneumatic comes from. Yeah, our pneumonia. It has to deal with a current of air. or a breath or a breeze. That's what spirit and ghost means. Or it's that's the definition of it in the New Testament. A current of air, a breath, or a breeze. Now, to me, that's interesting because did God, when he spoke to the earth, did he breathe on it? Or did he use words? Yeah. I agree. But I guess this one, let me show you an example. Why don't you speak to me without using air? The only way you can is with one of which that's not what God designed for us to do. It's imperative because what we value is the word. The thing that comes out of our mouth that we can hear with this. Where in reality what God values is the breath or the spirit behind it.
You know, another thing is that you need the air to be able to transform the words from the mouth to the ear.
That's right. That's right.
Transmit, that's what goes to the ear.
Air never touches the ear. But what's strange is this does. Not this. Not the word. The word never touches your ear. The vibration does. Which is from the breath. Is not a word. And yet, you can hear it. So, when we talk about breathed on him the breath of life, was it word? Or was it a... I'm not trying to make a point here. It's just thought process. When God, the Spirit of God, moved on the face of the earth, it was the breath of God. It was also word. I don't think you can separate them, but I'm saying if we can realize that the breath, spirit, moves on things, then we can also realize that it doesn't always take words. Right? God's given us that ability. We ought to use it. I'm not timid about that. But we would need to remember that it's not our words that affect, it's the breath. Now, I don't want to get into going, that's not what I'm pushing for. But by the same token, if you could sit here and measure, if you could measure right here, even though you couldn't even see the leaf move, there is a concussion from breath. That's what causes the vibration for the ear. It's actually a concussion. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You're not hearing anything. You are feeling with an eardrum, which God has miraculously translated that into meaning. If we have an ear to hear, it's going to be referred to more in the spirit than it will be the little two things in there that get to rubbing together. You know, the vibration. All right. I'm going to read to you the same scripture that I read the word holy, because they're both included in here. Matthew 1:18. It's now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Ghost is the exact same word as spirits, pneuma. Now the first thing we have to understand, the first thing we need to understand is that our understanding is very limited. Because just as the breath or God moved on the face of the earth, the description is that the Holy Spirit moved on Mary. Moved on her sister. Moved a lot of ways. Now, if we're going to get literal, there had to be a life transference. If we're going to take everything literal, the sperm of God had to move in on Mary. Now, I don't think that's what happened. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think it's what happened. I think that the Spirit of God did something with breath. The breath of God did something. If we can understand that just the breath of the Word of God can impregnate, then we can give life to Jesus' dead body, then we can understand that it doesn't take a physical manifestation to create a miracle. The miracle will be a physical manifestation, or can be part of it. Does that make sense? And we got to open our minds up to know that the Spirit of God does not always move in word. Many times, I told you what I heard the Spirit of God tell me today. Well, nobody else heard it, so did I really hear words? Or was there a breath that translated into understanding? Even though I can nearly quote you the word verbatim, God is dealing in a media that we're limited in. We can say God told me, when in reality what He told us was in a split second, and that's how much this was on this car thing, was a split second. I had a long statement and an explanation. And it came faster than anybody could ever say it to me. And yet, I could understand it, and it was comprehensive. It was in detail, and yet it came in a way so fast that it was it would have been impossible to say it that fast. And if you'd have told me that, I said, "How do you know?" But I didn't say that. You know, I really didn't have the time. That's right. Connie was there. She can tell you. Well, she didn't hear it, but she knew that that horn was honking the minute the brake was put on, and that's strange.
I remember seeing the driver look in the other direction and pulling out.
I didn't even see that. I was.
I was like,
well, it's amazing how what people do. So let's say this. One of the manifestations of the speech of God, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is life. We back that up with the scripture that we like around here, which if that same Spirit dwells in you, dwells in Christ, that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He gives you life. Right? All right. Matthew 3:11 also proves to me, let me read it to you, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance." Now this is Jesus, or one of His compadres, either way, that's Jesus. "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes..." That's not... It's who is that? John? Okay. "Who's mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So one of the manifestations is holiness and fire. Now, we're not talking about burning up, spontaneous combustion. We're talking about life. Zeal. Another word is zeal. We're talking about excitement about life. We're talking about an area where we walk around not disgruntled and not discouraged. And if we enter into that, quickly the Holy Spirit delivers us out of that. Okay, one of the things I did, so you'll understand, is I went through and I compared the scriptures. Many of them duplicated. But some were new, and I'm going to read you the newer scriptures now from now on, rather than duplicate what I did last Wednesday. So in Matthew 3:16, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him." So God does not come down. The Spirit of God comes down, descends. One of the manifestations, evidently, we can see here is peace. And most of us, if you'll think about it and study it, the outflow of salvation, and especially being filled with the Holy Spirit, is peace. There's a tremendous burden removed. There's guilt removed. There's condemnation removed. Now, not that I'm saying Jesus had that. I'm saying one of the manifestations of the Spirit of God is peace, which gives you breath. The Spirit. Okay.
It's interesting that they use the word dove coming as a dove.
As a dove.
And this is what they always describe the dove and olive branch from the ark or from the one that came
to Jesus. Yeah, searching for a place to land. That's what that, well, actually, searching for a place to land, finding the olive branch and coming back, meaning you've been rescued, you've been saved. Well, anyway, we'll leave it at that. Matthew 4:1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." I like this scripture because it sure messes up our little crystal cathedrals. We don't think that God ever leads us to be tempted. And yet the scripture teaches different. The Spirit One of the manifestations of the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is we're being led. We have such great peace because we know we're being led. One of the terrible things about Christianity, especially when you move into heavy charismatic, is that people lead and ask God to follow. When you get too sensual in your spiritual relationship with God, you lead and God follows. God be with me today. Well, are you going someplace I'm not going? You know, why would I have to say God be with me today? If the Holy Spirit dwells and I give Him the reins, then I ride where He goes.
Show me what to do today.
That's right. Yeah, and you can turn me left, you can turn me right, you can stop me, you can make me run. I don't care. Let's just go. So one of the manifestations is a leading, a directing, a guiding. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits, this is the wrong spirit, the evil, the little spirit, with his word, and healed all that were sick. Now, one of the things that we know here by reading this is that the wrong spirits cannot resist word. We've got to get that down in our faith, that when we command spirits to go, stop, cease, leave, by the word of God, not by words we can conjure up, they have to go. If we're led of the Spirit and we speak in faith the Word of God, they have to go. They have to go. They don't have to perform for you, but they got to go. And you got to know that. You have to know that with everything that's within you. Well, I didn't see anything happen. You still know it. You know it. Iron, you got to get down to normal. You know it's done. You don't sit and lay awake all night worrying about it. You know it's done. They got to go. By the way, one of the things that we need to understand, I have a little problem with people think that once you're saved or filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be affected by evil spirits. That's a very dangerous thing, especially when I get through reading some of this. You're going to understand that Jesus said that nearly every malady or sickness was an evil spirit. In this case, we also see he told the spirits to get out, and all were healed. They're tied together. He didn't say, cancer, get out. He basically said, evil spirit, get out. You can call it a spirit of cancer. You can call it a spirit of whatever you want to. But if we know that all disease and malady comes from the devil, then we actually know what we're doing is commanding the devil to get out by Jesus the Word. Right? Well, maybe we just need to be a little more ignorant then and not know quite so many names. We just need to know one name. Yeah, I just get a kick out of shaking leg syndrome. I really get a kick out of that one. Irritable bowel syndrome. That means you ate beans, you know. Matthew 10:20. For it is not yet. All right. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. It gives another meaning to the out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If God, we need to be so pliable and so, we need to welcome the Holy Spirit so much that literally we feel when God is speaking into us, and out of the mouth does it come. Whatever manifestation that is, we need to be not so quick to judge and be a lot quicker to obey. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. On the manifestations, God speaks through you, or the Holy Spirit speaks through you. I don't have any problem with that. I feel like that happens every time I get up here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have much hope. Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. this is a pretty in-depth scripture. It means a lot of things. Number one, we cast out spirits with spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you that so you'll understand something. I'm going to get more careful about how I do things, because if the Spirit of God is the one that casts out spirits, then I need to make sure that He and I are on the same frequency before I start shooting my mouth off. That makes sense? I felt this a while ago when I wanted to pray for Karen's brother. I want him saved a whole lot more than I want him healed. Now, that's got to be the heart of God. Our flesh, finite minds say, let's get him healed so we can get him saved. We think there's a time frame there that's marked and ticking. Well, God's the one that holds the time frame and the ticking. He'd much rather have him saved than in the kingdom of God than healed. He can take care of the healing. That's nothing. That salvation is being born again. That's the hard part. We also see, here's a very important thing to me. Unless you understand that the Spirit is interested in the kingdom of God, then you don't yet know the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a voice of God. Let's put it that way for the moment. And God is only interested in the kingdom of God. He's not interested in any other kingdom. He wants that kingdom destroyed. So the leading and the unction of the Holy Spirit is going to be directed towards the kingdom of God. You're not going to be healed, and you're not going to be doing healing to get people over their sickness. You're going to be doing that to get them into the kingdom of God, which is the opposite of that, is to drive the evil spirits out of the kingdom of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit's going to be about. He's not about dancing. He's not about fluff. He's not about foo-foo. He's about the kingdom of God. He'll let us have some fun. He's not against that. But I'm telling you, the crux of the matter, if I get up here in a chiffon skirt and I start dancing around and say, wow, Holy Spirit did that, you need to ask me, how did it add to the kingdom? How did it represent the kingdom? It wouldn't represent the kingdom very well, though. Do you think it would? I don't think it would. Well, and I'm not against, larger churches have larger sections of the population. And some of them are interested in dance, and some of them are interested in arts and whatever. And I think the church sometimes gets sucked into that, because I've seen a lot of that where it did not add to the kingdom. Now, if you can get people to get involved in those things and they're added to the kingdom, that's great. But I still think that nearly all ministries, if they be laid out on the table and say, what is this one? What is this part of my ministry adding to the kingdom? The Holy Spirit might be able to talk plainer to us. Matthew 12:45. And I've got a lot of scripture I'm going to skip over. Matthew 12:45. Then goeth he and taketh with himself. Let me have your Bible just for a second. Let me back up here. This is so out of context. I think we sometimes break up, and it's hard to teach the New Testament by one scripture. But anyway, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, what have we just listed? An unclean spirit. That it cannot be the Holy Spirit. It cannot be the Spirit of God. It cannot be any part of the Spirit of God, because God is holy. And this is unclean, or this is unholy. Goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. This is salvation. Empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. With this wicked generation. He's still in the Old Testament. He's still in the Old Testament. If Jesus is talking, he's still in the Old Testament. He was fixing to foster in a new generation of born-again people. Why? What's the difference? They're more than clean and swept. They're filled. If I go, the Comforter will come. The one that fills, dwells with you. That's your advocate. That's your advisor. Does that make sense? We know that there's other spirits. We know they're cast out by the Spirit. We know that you can be cleaned and swept and not protected. And I think you understand this, but I'm going to say it again. My problem with evangelism is it cleans and sweeps people. That's all it does. They're not offered food. They're not offered an indwelling. They're not offered a filling. They're not offered a teaching. Let's go out on the street and witness. No. No, let's don't. Let's wait for the direction of the Holy Spirit. When He woos, He's going to tell us it's time. Matthew 26:41. Huh? Matthew 26:41. Well, you should never have said it at 70.
It was said at 72.
Okay. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is a little less. And what's interesting about this, it's still 41:51. Our spirit is different than the Holy Spirit, and is different than the unclean spirit, but it's still 41:51. When God breathed into you the breath of life, He's talking about a physical life. Then when you are born again, He breathes into you another life, a spiritual life. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, it's another life. Now you've got the Trinity. Now we are the Trinity. We are walking Trinity. We have a flesh that's full of mind, emotions, and will. We have a spirit that's full of God's mind, emotions, and will. And then we have that clean, swept place where they can reside. That Jesus thing. That born-again spirit. Now, by the Spirit, Jesus said, you're going to understand this. Without, you're not. If nobody can understand this, it's because they have not yet met the Holy Spirit. But this says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man. No, I skipped one over. Ha, there we go. Watch and pray that you enter in not into temptation. Now what do we got here? Man's spirit has a problem with temptation. Isn't that what this scripture is saying? And it's going to take a little work to keep your head out of the trap. See, nowhere in there does it say once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll never have this problem again. And too many times when people think they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they think that their spirit is dead. Bill, you know what makes me, you and I, different? Our physical spirits. You can't deny that. We may be born again of the same Father. But there's something in us that, and this is God's design. We don't need to be guilty about this. I'm going to look at things different than you. That's God's design. It keeps us from being bored and keeps God from being bored. He didn't want 10 million people all the same. Bore Him and bore us. He likes that. And besides that, we have different callings. He has warrior callings. He has evangelistic callings. He has prophetic callings. He has all the different callings, and they're going to manifest different. Therefore, they have to have a spirit difference. They have to have a spirit difference. That's the man's spirit difference. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit fills us, fills you, fills me, we're still going to be three different people. We're going to look at things different. We're going to see them different. We're even going to talk about them different. We're going to enjoy them different. We're going to hate them different. But this says, you'll all be tempted. You need to get serious and stay serious. Pray.
It's the same reason why we have, however many writers the Bible, and you get a different type of writing, but the same word, basically.
That's right. Because they see different. But it's all going to be about the kingdom. It still has to be about the kingdom if you know the Holy Spirit. All right. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. Short verse. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. All right, now we got a man in the church with an unclean spirit. Right? And he cried out. He who? The unclean spirit. Unclean spirits are not mute. And you'll know Because what comes out of the abundance of the mouth is the abundance of the heart. You'll know if everything's unclean, then they are filled with an unclean spirit. To the pure, all things are pure, Titus says. Remember? But to the impure, everything is impure, full of death and destruction. Unclean spirits manifest unclean, unholy. Nothing looks good, nothing feels good, there's no peace. When you see somebody driven, it's an unclean spirit. I won't even tell you how. If they're just driven all the time, it's an unclean spirit. Because there's no peace, right? There's nothing like a dove descending on those people. They're just eaten up from the inside. I told you my cousin down there making millions, rubbing his head and saying, you just can't make enough money. Unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. Somebody that's always battling with the feeling of inferiority or it's an unclean spirit. It's unholy. Mark chapter 2, verse 8. This is interesting. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, little s, that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? What do we see here? Jesus had spirit and spirit. A man like you and I. Little s means he figured out on his own what these guys were saying. One of the things that we must understand, this is most important to people that get on fire, is that not everything that comes out of our mouth is by the Holy Spirit. Here's the kind of a progression you'll see. Somebody prays, somebody fasts, somebody gets born again, somebody gets closer to God, whatever the scenario is. And they get on fire, and they got a word for everybody. I've been up, man. I'm smarter than any of you because God's been talking to me, so here's a word for you, and here's a word for you, and here's a word for you. I got to get this world straight, man. I got to go. Well, that's your spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is not yapping all the time. Therefore, he doesn't appreciate you yapping all the time. We got it? Jesus perceived in his spirit. Let's open up another door. Why do you think God gave us a mind and an emotion and a will? Because he wants us to do a little work. Anything wrong with that? Do you have to have the Holy Spirit come on you and tell you when to sweep the floor? You could say in my spirit, and this being the little s, I perceive the floor needs to be swept. Yeah. That's your spirit. That's the man's and the woman's spirit. When you perceive the lawn needs to be mowed, you can say the Holy Spirit told me the yard needs to be mowed, and you're a liar. The Holy Spirit could care less about your yard. But is there something in you that causes you to be clean and neat? That's the Holy Spirit. But he didn't have to tell you what to do. I took a bath before I came to church. I'm not going to blame that on the Holy Spirit. I blame that on stink. I perceive I need a shower. I think I did touch her, so that's probably right. When Jesus perceived in his spirit, it's very, very important for us to understand that Jesus had the spirit of man. And he figured some things out by his lonesome. Why? Why can you trust some things that you figure out? Because your core is the Holy Spirit. Your core is the Word of God. And you begin to trust your feelings about things because you know you're not out to kill, steal, and destroy. So I can trust my feelings. It's not the same as a directive of the Holy Spirit. But can I trust them both? No answer. Absolutely. Now, Gene, Harry, all of us, if all of my perceiving in my spirit is negative, then I need to quit trusting my spirit. Could be. It could be. It could be just a... It can be the way you're raised. And you have not overcome that yet. You've not cleansed, had the Holy Spirit cleanse it. I've seen that. I still have that in my family today. People have been saved for 50 years and they're still as negative as they can be. You cannot just... It's unclean. When it always comes out negative, it's unclean. Now, does that mean I'm a sinner? No, that doesn't mean I'm a sinner. It means I have an area I haven't dealt with yet. I haven't totally concentrated, turned over to God. Let the Holy Spirit purify it. Well, is this a negative statement? No. The minute you perceive in your spirit that you're negative, that is the Holy Spirit working in you. That's a positive thing. Changing from glory to glory, or from things that you don't like to things that you are proud of, is good. Recognizing things that need to be cleaned are good. Those are good things. They're not bad. We should never be ashamed when God is continuing to work and clean and purify. We should be proud. We're being used. We're being worked on. It's great. Mark 5:13. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. You know what we're dealing with here? Well, we'll finish and see. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. Now, I think it's interesting right here that Jesus gave them permission to go. Do you remember that the unclean spirit said, "Don't harm us, let us go into the swine"? You remember that? That's what the scripture said. He said, "I give you leave." Now, what do we see here? We see holy, so fearful and so powerful that unclean wants out of here. If we can ever get something down in our spirit, then we are not truly in a battle. The battle's been won, Harry. We've said that over and over. We don't take it serious. The battle has been won. The unclean spirits know the battle's been won. And when a holy spirit, whether we being holy or we being, however we say it, walking with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit, we show up, they want out. We don't have to chant and spit and slobber and scream. They already want out. We just need to tell them to get or give them permission to get. All right. He gave them leave. You don't have to be polite about it, by the way. Yeah.
Would that also be a manifestation that they do not, they want a place to go and not just out in space?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not too sure how to handle that. One, we've already read one scripture where it says they leave and they look for a place to come back. They look for a place and they find this clean swept. So if we don't tell them where to go, they will come, they will find someplace else to go. I like to tell them where to go, and I mean that literally. We as Christians need to tell them where to go. We don't need to turn them loose. I think Jesus probably knew.
We can't condemn them to go back to hell. We can't do that.
Well, we can suggest it. We can't enforce it.
Tell them to leave the country and go overseas.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll study that a little more and figure out exactly what I can and can't do. But one thing I know is that Jesus was smart enough to understand that a pig was not a good place to go. So fine, do that. And the pig was fixing to die. What happened when the pigs died? You think that's what happened to him? I don't know. I don't really. I really don't know. That was a question that I don't have an answer for. The Bible doesn't give an answer, so I don't know that I have an answer. All I have is this answer. They're afraid of me. That's all I need to know. They're afraid of me. And they're not going to be hanging around where I'm at because I'm the same. Jesus said the thing that I did, you'll do also even more. Here's another cool thing. And if you ever understand anything, and I've been telling everybody I've talked to lately, they wanted to go into the swine. When the unclean spirits entered the swine, they ran into the sea and choked themselves. They died. Yes, the pigs. So let's pull this back out and put legs on it that we can understand. I'm not interested in 2,000 dead pigs. I'm interested in understanding what this scripture is saying. What this scripture is saying is anybody that has an unclean spirit is out of their mind. They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to kill themselves. They're going to destroy themselves. They're going to do the dumb things. If you want to explain why people do dumb things, it's unclean spirits. And what can you expect with somebody that has an unclean spirit? You can expect dumb things. You're not going to be surprised when they do dumb things.
Stan, were there that many pigs or that many
well,
things
What does your Bible say?
And at once Jesus gave information. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine.
It said the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. So if you're asking me how many spirits, I'm going to say there was at least 2,000. But they went into 2,000 pigs. That's kind of the way I read it. If I'm wrong, well, I'm wrong. There was 500 pigs and 2,000 entered into them. The outcome is still the same. The reason people do absolutely unexplainable, insane things is because of unclean spirits. If they were full of the Holy Spirit, if they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they would not do those insane things. Does that make sense?
Another thing that I see that's interesting is it seems like a man's spirit must be a lot stronger if it can take on 2,000 of those spirits and still remain even alive.
Okay. That's a really good thought. Also, that the one spirit that was in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, had dominion over at least 2,000 evil spirits without even a discussion. So when we hear all these spooky, goofy stories about I walked into the place and it was full of evil spirits. Well, evidently you weren't full of clean spirit because they didn't run away. What are you telling me that for? What action did you take? If you are uncomfortable with an unclean spirit, what action are you supposed to take? You can give it permission to leave. You can command it to leave. But either way, it's holy and unholy cannot stay in the same place. We got to get that down. God cannot look upon sin. Sin cannot be where God's at. And the more we are filled with the Spirit of God, the more power we have over unclean spirits and ourselves and other people also. Right? It's amazing to me. I mean, I was telling somebody the other day about this trap that I was invited into where this well-known person was having a home meeting and I was invited and I knew that we were in the wrong place. I knew when we walked in. But sometimes out of politeness we put up. We shouldn't. We ought to get rude and say, out. That night, through supposedly the prophetic, which, believe me, it was not. It was evil. It was unclean. I'm trying to be nice about things. It was unclean. This person began to speak to people around the world, went to two lesbians and basically approved their relationship, which I knew that wasn't God. There was another homosexual there that God loves you. Oh, please. You know what people hear when you say God loves you? If they're unclean, they're going to hear, you're okay. You don't have to change. God didn't say that. And He doesn't want it said. He doesn't even want it heard. Went around the room, came to me. And this smart aleck spirit decided it was going to chastise me. Now, I'd made up my mind to be polite, not to be. But as my grandparent would say, I turned and looked at her and gave her a look she couldn't locate. Looked her square in the eye, steely-eyed, with a grit. Basically saying, you're going to say a couple of things, and then I am, I promise you. Now, if I'd have had to use words, she couldn't have heard that, but I guarantee you she heard the word.
And she changed immediately
about. Actually, she stopped dead in her tracks. Yeah, y'all were there. Connie was there. Dead in her tracks, right in the middle of a sentence, and went somewhere else.
It's like the tone of the voice changed. It was
weird, all right. But the Spirit of God in me rules over 1 or 20,000. It doesn't make any difference. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and have no fear. Why? He's with me. And I mean, this unclean spirit has already been beat up and sentenced. What do you think God's Spirit says to an unclean spirit when it's having to listen to me? You're beat up and sentenced. And you mess with him. And God would say, and you messing with me. That's what's really going down right at that time. A spiritual warfare is basically, whose flag are we flying? Am I going to allow that flag to be flown or am I going to raise another one? Another standard's going to be raised. Now let's make one other statement here. That just because I am of the Spirit does not mean that other spirits are not going to manifest. That's another mistake that Christians sometimes make. I walk in the room and they have to be quiet. Oh, really? Where'd you find that one in the Bible? Sometimes I must raise my more powerful voice, our spirit, over one that's got the yakety yaks. Unclean spirits, they talk. They manifest. They make their presence known. Too many Christians walk around with unclean spirits because the Spirit of God in that man does not take dominion over the unclean spirit and cast him out. It's called familiar spirits or a family spirit. They are welcome. Did you know unclean spirits are profitable? They're profitable of any kind. Many people harbor them because it gives them worth. You see, if I've got this thing called something my father raped me when I was 10. That's an unclean spirit. You gave it a name. It's called father rape. You gave it a name. And you let that thing bother you and bother you and bother you, and you don't ever take dominion over it, and it becomes part of your family. It's your inheritance. It's your tree. And it gives you a place to feel sorry for yourself and a place to hide. Where if you destroy that evil spirit, that unclean spirit, you would make now place for the peace of God. Why do you think that the unclean spirit, the evil spirit, the devil himself wants to remind us of our past? Because we know our past is unclean. It doesn't got anything with what it does. It doesn't make any difference what degree of unclean it is. He's going to make a big deal about it. He's going to drive you crazy if you don't cast him out. He will manifest what's going to manifest out of you. Which is going to win? That subversive one that holds you down, that tells you you're no good, or the Spirit of God which tells you how much you're really worth, who you really are, and how much power you really have? We'll know. We know what the manifestation of the Spirit of God is. The Bible says if you'll judge yourself, the world won't be able to judge you. The world is unclean spirit. Man, if we see something in us that's unclean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what the Spirit does. It reveals and it enlightens. If we find something in us that's unclean, then use the Spirit of God to take dominion. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling you anyway. Take dominion, cast it out, send it out to the pigs, get on out of here. The devil's going to be faithful to come up and tell you how worthless you are, or how evil you are, or how unclean you are. And you have this clean spirit. You're saved, you're clean and swept. Now you've got a spirit of empowerment and power. You've got to take dominion over that other nonsense. Got to. If you have to verbally say it, don't you ever say that to me again. You're a liar. The truth's not in you. The truth is in me. I am. And manifest, declare who you are. By the Spirit of God, declare who you are. And you do that until he has a great case of no voice. Laryngitis. Let him scream and yell, and you've just outdone him until he can't even talk anymore. And you said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, because of time, we're going to stop here. The Holy Spirit is full of good stuff. You know what? He only feels good stuff. He only messes with good stuff. He only talks to good stuff. He only ministers to good stuff. So if you ever give a testimony that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, has moved, has directed you, has guided you, then you are saying, I am good. All right. It's 9:15. Let's go ahead and end this. And hopefully we're going to put this together as a series so that we can give some information. Somebody wants to understand about the Holy Spirit, we can hand it to them and just bomb them with word. Amen? All right. Once again, now we... as an afterthought and a knowledge, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you that we're being enlightened and we're being encouraged and we're being lifted up. And we're going to leave this place. Every time we study, we're going to leave this place wiser than when we came in. That means that the unclean spirits of this world are going to have to tremble and flee more than they've ever done in the entire history. We're not going to be fail because of lack of knowledge. We're not going to do that. If we have, we repent. We're not going to do it anymore. We desire you, Father, your mind, your emotions, your will, the feeling of your heart. We desire the fullness of salvation. We desire the fullness of being of the Holy Spirit. and the fullness of the kingdom of God being used and adding to. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And we trust you. We trust that this is not a wasted motivational speech, but these are words of the living God to give life to the children of God. We take great courage and encouragement in that, looking forward to tomorrow, because you are our tomorrow. There is no failure in you. There's no reverse in you. There's only go forward and rule and reign in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to do. And forgive those tonight that felt like that other things were more important than the study of your Spirit, Father. Draw them again. Holy Spirit, draw them. Let them get this tape and study. Catch up. Not fall behind. That's what the enemy would want. Teach people that are out there that there's nothing more important than the true study of the Word of God to empower, to heal, to enrich, and to direct. Draw them back to their first love, where they can't stay away. For these things we boldly ask. Now we say they're done in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Those that agree, says amen.